I am right now. In the last year, I have discovered some things the Lord's taught me straight out of the book, and I'm the happiest man you'll ever meet in life. I have learned what it means when my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know what that means now. And I also know what Jesus said, that we loved him because he first loved us. I understand that. And I understand that he doesn't need me. And I understand what it meant when the servant had a thing put in his ear. And on the Jubilee, he was supposed to be let go. And he went to his master and he says, "I don't want to be let go." He said, "I want to be your servant." And so I thought about that. And I thought, well, the Bible does say that he'll set you free. He sets you free to make a choice. And by cracky, I'm glad I finally figured out what that meant. I was set free to make a choice, and I want to be his bondservant forever. I don't want anything else. And now I understand a lot of things that I ever understood before. I know why he said that that we were supposed to consider ourselves just, servants. Well, Lord have mercy, what's the greatest thing you can be in life? What's the greatest thing you can be in all eternity? To be a servant of God. So I thought I'd preach about that tonight, because I don't think the coming of the Lord is a long way off. I don't know the day, the week, month, or year. But I tell you what, he has taught me more than the last year. And I guess I'm just blockheaded and stubborn than I ever learned before in my life. And it matches scriptures. I know he taught it. And I know I believe it. So, Charlie, take this back, give it to Tom, and say, "I hope you understand this. It's pretty deep." And just see what he says. Will you do that?
Yes.
I believe you will. This is coming from a man that fell out of a tree when he should have been in church a long time ago. But I always trust people like that, because one fall out of the tree on your head changes your whole life. They said, "Don't ever talk to Charlie about that." And I said, "That's the first thing I'm going to do." Okay, a child is not accountable for sin. You already know that. Until it reaches the accountable age. All go to heaven, unable to exercise, Acts 20 and 21. A child goes to heaven. Anybody ever ask me, I show them this. And I also show them where Jesus went out to get the lost sheep. You say, "That's not talking about that." Don't be too sure. In any case, Acts 20:20-21. Paul said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Here's what he said. See, we had a bunch of preachers, I won't tell you where, because I've stopped doing that kind of stuff. At least I've tried to. But they were in another association, distant from here, on the far horizon. And they started testifying that you didn't have to repent to go to heaven, to be saved. You didn't have to repent to be saved. Yes, you do. Yes, you do have to repent. And if you think that Adam and Eve didn't repent, you don't know a whole lot about repentance. They came out and they admitted what they had done. So I don't have any problem with it. Cain, he never repented. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A child cannot do that, period. And they reach accountability at different times. I know by experience, I was the only one of three I don't want to brag about that. I was the only one of three that stayed when we went out and interviewed to do something free at a children's colony. And when they went back to the last thing, there's four different levels. They went to the last one, the guy had a head that, some of them had heads that big, but they were just normal like us with their thinking. So I started going out there. And I had a very enjoyable time, because some of them were able to be saved, and some of them weren't. But there were four different levels, and I preached to the third level, and I didn't give an invitation or anything, but a lot of them came to me and told me that they had gotten saved. And one day I was over at Arkansas Tech. And I heard brakes creak behind me. It was after I came up here. And all of a sudden, I looked around, and here's all these kids piling off the bus. And they mobbed me and jumped on my back and got me down on the ground. I'm telling you, there's a lot of love in people that like that. They're very immature in the faith. And now I understand why a lot of people I know that didn't finish the third or fourth grade, those people are more loving than the ones that are get to be highfalutin. I've learned that. Now, those who pass age accountability must exercise repentance and faith. You have to receive condemnation from sins eternally, since they are crucified in Jesus Christ spiritually forever. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. He said the law was spiritual. But he's writing that in Romans, and listen, he'd been going around preaching for some time. He wrote that, and he said, I'm the chief of sinners. He said the law is spiritual, but he said, I am carnal, sold under sin. Then later on, he said, down in the next chapter, just continuous chapter right on through, he said there is no condemnation for sin. He was not condemned for sin. He had been relieved from sin. I was set free to make a choice. I was set free to make a choice. Am I going to do what God wants, or am I not going to do what God wants? You say, well, listen, I didn't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But God kept on my tail like a duck on a June bug. And I tell you what, pretty soon I realized, you better get this done right. And by the grace of God, he led me to scriptural baptism. Then I said, he began to teach me things. And I began to do things that I had learned from the pastor that told me I should be doing. And here I am. And I never felt better in my life. And I've asked the Lord if he'd leave me here. Not that he needs me. Until I finished what he wants me to do. I'd like to go be with Imogene. He knows that. But I know Imogene. I can speak for her and I speak for myself. I'd a whole lot rather do what he wants. And I love the idea of being a bondservant. I never did understand that. But when I got saved, I became a bondservant. You know what that means? Well, the fellow that was a bondservant to this master that was so good to him for all so long, on the Jubilee year, they would put a thing in his ear. You know why they do that? Because he requests it. And he would go, the ones that love their master, and they would go to him and they'd say, I don't want to be set free from you. And they would put a thing in his ear right here. And he would be a bondservant forever. Man, he was set free to make a choice. And he chose his master. That's what happens. But you know what? You got to pay deo. The Lord has to raise you. I had no idea how wonderful the Lord is. Now I know I don't know how wonderful he is. And it's something that everyone has to consider. And that's why I'm so cotton-picking happy. Because I've asked God to leave me here until he gets ready for me to come home. And then I'll go just like he wants. But I would like to stay here a little while longer because I've got a lot of things I need to teach on the internet that I should have, that I didn't know how to teach until now. And I believe we're in the last days, and maybe God means for me to do that. We'll just have to wait and see. But I intend to stay here with you. I know one thing. Got a lot of good help here. Got a lot of good help here. I can't think of three missionary Baptist preachers I'd rather have more than you three. And I tell you what, I can't think of a better deacon than we've got now. And so everybody loves me. They're taking care of me. And I'm just going to try to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, Galatians 2, 20, 21. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, the people that are sitting out here tonight, looking around, in my opinion, Christ is living in you. And you've already been crucified with Christ. Your heart's already been circumcised. But Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Guess who got you to come here? The Son of God. Guess who he is, the overcomer? Guess what he did for you? Who loved me and gave himself for me. You're here because you've learned to love God, and you've learned as much about him as you have. And the only way you can learn about God is to submit to his will. You don't have to go to a seminary. And I'm not saying that against seminaries. I thank God they taught me the languages. I'm glad I went because it has helped me. And I believe God meant for me to do it. But I'll tell you this. You sure don't have to, because some of the best preachers I've ever known never went to the seminary in their life, and they just trusted God. They picked up the King James translation, they got some books to look up some words, and away they went. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to put on the internet, and I'm going to warn people. I've been trying to warn them all these years. You better get ready. Now, I've been saying, this is not a far distant thing. I didn't give them a day, a week, a month, a year. I didn't teach what I've been teaching here for about the last 6 months. I didn't teach it because I wasn't exactly certain what would happen before Israel attacked Israel, before Israel attacked Syria. And I just didn't feel led to put anything down because I had some ideas, but I wasn't sure. And God just didn't give me the confidence to do it. Well, I got the confidence now. And I'm not a time setter because I still can't tell you the day, the week, month, the year. Now, we are set free to work for righteousness. Are we? No. Set free to work for righteousness is not why God gave it to a believer. Let me tell you why he gave you that righteousness, the primary reason. God gave it by grace to serve him. S-E-R-V-E. That's an interesting word. Work is another interesting word. I didn't work for my salvation before I was saved, and I'm not working for my salvation now. I'm a servant of God. I'm a bondservant, bought and paid for, and I don't ever want to be anything else. I've made my choice. You say, well, in heaven you can do anything. No, you can't. I want to be a bondservant for him forever, and whatever he wants me to do in heaven, that's exactly what I want to do because I have learned confidence in him. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Why can't I have that confidence in him? I can. Good grief, I'm an old man now. Took me all this time to learn it, and I am sharing it with you because I want you to think about it. Don't work for righteousness prior to or after being saved by his grace. The saved cannot add to Jesus' grace. They are eternally saved to serve, not to eternally work, seeking to add to the righteousness of Christ. You can't add to it. Servant. Cruden's Complete Concordance. I wanted to get something that was just real simple and straightforward. Cruden's Complete Concordance. In the Bible, the word servant, it usually means bondservant or slave. That slave used to bother me when I was young. Man, I don't mind it at all now. You know what a slave does? He tries to please his master. That's where his heart is. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Ekpesike, from the soul. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Not unto men. And whatsoever you do it heartily, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord God. Listen, I have a freedom that I never realized was possible. I am a slave. I'm bought and paid for. I can't think of a better thing than to be a slave. And when I get to heaven, if you think I'm going to run up there exercising my own will, you're out of your mind. Because when I get to heaven, for we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Man alive, you say, well, I want to be set free in heaven. No, you don't. You just think you do. And right now, I've never been so happy in my life, and I'm about to die. Man alive, I never realized this. I didn't understand it, but I do now. It has in some revisions to King James Version. That's why I always use the King James. I don't recommend any of these other versions, but I recommend getting you a concordance where you can look up the words and make up your own mind whether they translated it or not. They themselves were not inspired in the sense that King James told them. Don't translate anything that would make what we already believe change. That's a fact. Been changed to minister. I'm a bondservant. I'm a minister. What am I doing? I'm preaching the word. I'm addicted to Christ. I'm a minister. I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave. Suit you, take your pick. What am I supposed to do? What my master says. Man, I like this thing in my ear. It's permanent. It was permanent from the day I was saved. and I was set free. And God let me make a choice. It was a choice that God had already wanted me to make. I'm not a Calvinist. He didn't say, well, I think I'll save Tom, but I'll send Kenneth to hell. No, he didn't do any of that stuff. He just made it where you could have a free choice. You got a free choice. Adam had a free choice. I think Adam's in heaven today. I think Cain's in hell. Abel had a choice, and his blood still speaks to us from the scriptures. Now, Philippians 2, 1 through 30. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. The word bowels means something that you feel in here. It means you feel wonderful. But, you know, they use bowels in this because it's an inner feeling. And so it's not the inner feeling that gives you the salvation, but the salvation makes you feel good inside. And the more you realize it about it, the more you enjoy it. The more you receive out of it, the greater it is in your life. If we believe there's any consolation in Christ, well, I certainly do. If any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, well, they're there. Then he says, here's what I want you to do. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Why should I want to be set free in heaven to think whatever I wanted? I don't want to be set free in heaven to think whatever I wanted. I'm set free here. I want to do what he wants. I want to know the mind of Christ. And I want to serve him in heaven and do everything he says and wants. I love and think about it. I love about it. Having the same love. This is what's supposed to happen at church. Being of one accord, of one mind. What's happening in our churches? Are they of one mind, of one love? What happens in churches where they try to be of one mind and one love? God shuts it out. God doesn't shut it out. The devil shuts it out. The devil gets in the church and puts all kind of ideas in people's minds. And he always seeks for somebody that he can do that has an influence where it can hurt the church the most. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he can affect preachers. God knows he's been, the devil's been affecting me all my life. And will continue to try. But I've got one thing now. I've got a Lord I know I can trust and run to, and I run to him like a frightened child. And the only reason that I do that is because God said you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a frightened child, like a child. I've become that way. I became that way the day I was saved. I didn't know that. You say, well, how'd you feel? Well, I felt good the night I got saved, but the next day when I said something bad and stole some of grandmother's cookies, I didn't feel so good. You say, it's not that way. It is that way. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's a problem in a church. And it's a problem not just between deacons. It's a problem between preachers. It's a problem between church members. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I think your dad did that. I really do. I think your dad did that. And that's one of the things I liked about him. He wasn't highfalutin. He didn't think highly of himself. He thought highly of the Lord. And when he had something to say, it was worth listening to. It was worth saying. Your dad was a humble man. Oh, he may have tanned your hide. He may have popped the back of your neck. You may have thought sometimes, I better hide before he gets home. But I'm going to tell you, he loved you. He loved you and he taught you the truth. And my grandparents loved me. They finished the third grade and the ninth grade, and they loved me. And I knew it. And you know your dad loved you. And after you got old enough, you loved him. And you've loved him ever since. And the more you knew about what he preached, the more you loved him. You got a good mom, too. You were very fortunate, both of you. You married well. You're very fortunate, both of you. So take advantage of what God's given you and start to do things what you do and don't murmur. Don't murmur and grumble yourselves. You say, well, have you ever done that? Lord, yes. You say, do you do it as much now? No, I don't. Every time I start to try, God jumps on me like a duck on a June bug because I can't preach this to you and not run to him and ask for forgiveness before I get carried away. And the devil is after church members. That's why it's important to teach the word to the church. Because if you don't change to the way God thinks, that you're more susceptible to the devil. That's the way it is. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Think of your actions' effect on the church. I used to be very humorous, and sometimes I'd used to say some things that were, I guess, a little off color. I didn't think so, but others did. When I found out about it, I said, I'm going to quit that. And I have. But you know why? Because God's in me. And when I found out that people were saying that, I said, I got to do something about that. Because I didn't mean any maliciousness about it. I kidded, you know, people about being my girl's friends. I kidded Anna Mae about that and all that stuff. They thought that was awful. And I'm sorry. I just didn't know any better. But she's very lovable. But I sure don't run around lusting over. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Consider the effect of your actions on the church. Consider your actions on the church. And so I said, hey, I'm going to quit doing that. That's what you have to do. You say, well, boy, I got so many faults, I don't know if we'll ever get rid of them. Don't worry, you're not going to get rid of all of them. But you can sure get rid of a bunch of them. The more you learn about yourself and about Jesus Christ. And if you can't tell me, I'm doing better than I used to do, give God the credit and try to do better. That's the way it goes. Who being in the form of God, look what he did. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a bondservant. That's what that is. A bondservant. You say, well, could it be slave? I like bondservant. They both mean the same thing. But he took on the form of a bondservant. As a man. Boy, that's really something. To create a whole universe. And to take on the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. As a man, he became obedient unto death. He was a sinless man. He was God incarnate in human flesh. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but he was both a man that was perfect and God who's always been perfect, and so had Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Can you think of anyone whose name is above every name? How about Jehovah? How about everlasting God? How about the Prince of Peace? How about the Comforter? You say, well, wait a minute. You're making Jesus God. He said, I am the Father of one. I am the Father of one. He is God. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. When you confess that Jesus and the Father are one, you couldn't give him any more glory. You couldn't give him a better name. So you can put all these names on that child in the manger. According to Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7, he put every name on him. Isaiah said that child in the manger was Almighty God. He said he was the Prince of Peace. He said that he was the Counselor. He said he was the Comforter. And he said he was the Everlasting Father. And he also said that he would come among us as a man and would take on the form of a man. And he did that in Daniel 7:14. I mean, in Isaiah 7:14. Man, we got quite a Savior. We got quite a Savior. And he died as a man and was buried in the grave and was resurrected by the power of God. If you want to put it this way, by his own power. He fulfilled three offices: the office of the Father, the office of the Son, the office of the Holy Spirit. That's why he told Thomas if he didn't go back, the Comforter couldn't come. He went back, was glorified. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You've got one God sitting up there waiting for you. He's the one who drew you to Christ. Jesus said he drew all men to him. And Jesus then told us about him. And now we're in the last days. And I think by now we should figure all this out, because the devil has so corrupted all this that the people in many churches are sitting thinking that there are three gods running around up there in heaven, and there are not. There's only one. Quite frankly, this is something that you really need to think about. And now let's go on. Should confess to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only. He said, just when I, not when I was there, how much more in my absence, work out. Katerga zeste. Katerga zeste. And I'm going to walk, because I always have. Charlie, come down here and help me. I'm going to show you exactly what that means. Okay, just hold my hand. Here I am. Okay. I'm saved. I'm saved. What have I been supposed to do since I was saved? Here's what I've learned in all that time. I was supposed to learn to be more like Jesus. Katergazeste. It means to try to be like Christ. Well, here I go. Dragging my tail behind me. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Ah, here I go. How am I doing? How am I doing? Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sins. Lord, forgive me. Here I go. He picks me up. He's paideoing me. Here I go. Here I go. He keeps on paideoing me. I keep getting up. He keeps picking me up. Here I go. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I feel better. I feel better already. I know more about him. I understand him. Paideo, I'm learning a lot more about him. Lord, help me to understand what you want me to understand about you. I prayed about this and prayed about this. So here we go. Here we go. Okay. Where am I? I wish I could reach that wall. It's impossible. I can't reach that wall. I can't be like him here. I've got a carnal nature. Paul said, I'm sold under sin. He said, I know the law is spiritual, but wait a minute. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm one of the firstborn. Now what am I doing? What's this walk about? I'm trying to be like him. You say, well, you'll never make it. He knows that. Now I know that. So what happens? I just keep on walking. You say, well, you're never going to make it. Kind of like Donald Trump. They say, you're never going to make it. Well, I think Donald Trump knows that. But here we are. Where am I now? I'll never make that wall. Never. But you know what? He made it for me. He made it for me. He made it for me. So I don't have to worry about that. And when did he start to make it for me? I guess I was about 8 years old when God started convicting me. But God knows just how much conviction to put on you. He knows when to start. He knows all that stuff. I didn't understand what I'm telling you now then, but boy, I sure do now. And I tell you what, the more you know him, the more you see what he's done for you, the more you want to die for him. But you've learned not to say, I'll follow you to prison and to death, because you've still got a carnal nature. Well, he's in heaven and he doesn't. And we're all down here. There's a lot of souls up there now waiting for glorified bodies. He's given some of them a white robe, which I think is a wedding garment. But their bodies are still in the grave. So here we are. Do I believe in a split rapture? I sure do. I believe one about 1,000 years long. But there might be a shorter one. I'll give you that, Chuck. I'm not trying to put you down or anything. I've learned along the way, Lordy mercy, how can I put any bad body down on this stuff? Because I'm just understanding a little of it. And I know that what I told you is true. And I'm just kidding about that 1,000-year split rapture. I like to kid people about stuff, particularly if I like them. If I don't like them, I'm real solemn around them. And I am around Anna Mae, because Anna Mae can be vicious. Oh, Lord. Let's see. Can you help me put that? Okay. Now, he says, Tergazeste, work out. Look it up for yourself. It means to carry what you have to an ultimate conclusion. There's only one man who ever did. Jesus Christ. Carry what you have to an ultimate conclusion. He did it as a man. And he was resurrected from the grave. If you want to say by the Father, that's okay. But he was resurrected by himself. He was justified before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what did he say to do? It is God that which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So how can we ever take credit for anything? We can't. I can't add anything to the righteousness he gave me. He lives in me. I can't add anything to the actual existence of overcoming. He's the only man that ever overcame completely. But I can try to follow his example, because I know he overcame. And he lives inside me, the same one who overcame. And I think the same principle applies to overcoming as it does to righteousness. That's why he says we're overcomers. We're overcomers because he lives in us. And I tell you what, you got a goal, you need to follow it. That they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Well, holding forth the word of life. You know what that is? This. Holding forth the word of life. Am I certain of that? I'm absolutely positive. He says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with him. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. He cared for people. But there were other people that cared for people. And the number of people that care for people are diminishing. They don't care like this. He says, sent Timotheus unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You say, well, what if you go to the hospital every day? Every time I used to go down in the Benton Triangle down there, they had me running off to every hospital in the county. And by the time we finished up, I was repeating the same prayer, because we'd go to 10, 15 a day. I'm not complaining. And I'm not saying they were wrong to do it. But we just prayed for them. We didn't preach anything to them. And they just knew we loved them. But we should have pointed out that God loved them. and that we were asking God about it, and that we were going to trust in God's will for whatever turned out. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him. As a man with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. The good news. Timothy was a pastor of a church, and he went around with Paul at times, and he preached the gospel. What am I doing here? I'm preaching the gospel. You say, what is the gospel? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Some people get upset if you don't call it ghost. And really, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's what I've tried to do here. As he taught me, I taught you. As I learned, I taught you. I've never taught anything that I haven't changed if I discovered I was wrong, because he bugs me about it. And so I have, you know, he just won't leave me alone. If I'm trying to get up a message and I'm trying to kind of twist it around a little, I might have done that when I was young. I didn't know any better, and God forgave me. But, you know, David was loafing, looking, lusting, and losing. David was loafing, looking, lusting, and losing. They walked out of those meetings and said, ain't that great? How much good does that do a man? How much good do jokes do? You know, I appreciate, I don't, whatever preachers want to preach, they've each got a different style. But this is the gospel. And we shouldn't have to run all over Yale County and everywhere else and telling everybody about Jesus on a bicycle or under white sheets and call ourselves Jesus people. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Oh man, have I lived a life of that when I was young. For all seek their own. I want a strip down. You said, do you ever pray for a strip down? Oh yes. Did you ever pray for a new motor for a car so you could race it? Oh, yes. You say, well, you weren't a missionary Baptist. Yes, I was. But I was an ignorant missionary Baptist. Whose fault was that? Wasn't God's. It was mine. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I will send presently, so soon I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself may come shortly. Yet I supposed in labor, I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. That's the right way to pronounce that. Amazing. Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your minister, and he hath ministered to my wants. So have you. Give me the name of another missionary Baptist church that ever let a man be gone 40 weeks out of a year all over the world. I got back on Sundays normally, but you know of any other church that would have done that? I couldn't understand why God called me to church with just 9 people. Because, man, I was a hot dog. I had a lot of head knowledge. I thought very highly of myself. I didn't know that. You know, if somebody told me that, blah, 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 blah. But inside, I knew I was. Now, what about this? He hath ministered to my wants. You ministered to my wants. You gave me enough money to live on. We didn't starve to death. You prayed for me all the time. Still do. You're ministering to me all the time, and I appreciate it very much. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard ye had been sick. Well, don't you think they prayed for him later? For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me only, that I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Listen, you don't have to worry about a lot of things. God knows everything. You don't have to tell him how to fix a problem. You don't have to say, Lord, I wish you'd do this. I wish you'd do that. I've said unto preachers that said, be specific with your prayers. Baloney. Be specific if you know it's in God's will. But if you don't know, just leave it up to God. Why not do that? Because you don't know how many times God's bailed me out here. You have no idea. You know how many times God's kept me here. Because I was so weak in the faith. But I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord, and with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. I held your dad in reputation. I held your mom in reputation. And I hold both you young men in I do. And same with Kenneth. And same with the deacon. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Well, I'll tell you what, you certainly have provided a service to me. And your prayers provide a service to everybody in this church. And prayer, God listens to if you don't tell him what you think should be done. Because sometimes I've been wrong, W-R-O-N-G. And the times I was wrong, God taught me to quit doing that. Now, in Genesis 1:26, you say, how did he teach you? I don't want to tell you, but I've told you in the past, I've confessed it, so don't expect a double confession here. And God said, let us make man in our earth becoming image, after our blood flowing likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man lost his dominion. Adam did. He drove him out of the garden. But God redeemed it for believers who accept Christ. And that's been true all the way along. You say, well, they didn't know his name was Jesus. Oh, his name was Jehovah. His name was Joshua. They didn't know it, but we know it. That's why we have a better testimony. That's why we have a better testimony. So how are we going to stand up before God and give account of our lives when it came straight from the Master's lips to us? And that's why I harp on this all the time. I fall far short. I'm your pastor. But I know it. But God keeps teaching me. And don't get discouraged. I do. But you've got the master of the universe who's your God. And his name is Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever. You're getting out 10 minutes early, trying to pay you back some of that time. Roberts, you want to dismiss us?